The Micro Language Lab, Learning the 6809, is a presentation of Green Mountain Micro.
The topic is once again addressing modes, those ways in which the program gets the data it needs to complete a machine language instruction. I've described five modes so far: inherent addressing, an instruction which is essentially complete in itself; register addressing, where the opcode describes the instruction and the post byte indicates which registers are used; immediate addressing, where the necessary data immediately follows the opcode within the program; extended addressing, in which the two bytes following the opcode are used to form the address where the data is located; and direct addressing, in which the one byte following the opcode is combined with the one byte contents of the direct page register to form a memory address where the data can be found. The remaining modes are indexed and relative addressing, the topics of this lesson. As an aside, I know these two lessons are a little dry, and I promise to do better soon when you get back to hands-on programming. Actually, you've already done indexed addressing. It's the most versatile way of getting data to your program, and it's quite easy to use. Any apparent complexity arises solely out of the incredible number of combinations you can make using this mode, each of which has its own jargon. The one unequivocal thing you can say about indexed addressing is that the operand in some way identifies the address at which the processor will locate the data it needs to complete the instruction. Don't forget during this that when I say something like locate the data, I'm talking about loading, storing, comparing, adding, etc. Any machine language instruction that uses data to do its work. In general, indexed addressing allows the processor to get data from memory by calculation. The memory location for that data is calculated by combining the value of a 16-bit register with some offset value. The offset can be either an actual numerical value or the value of an accumulator register. You've seen the usefulness of this method in the little encryption code program several lessons ago. The X register was set to a memory location at the start of the encryption table, and the offset added to pick your way through the table was in the B register. These indexed addressing modes are called zero offset indexed, constant offset indexed, and accumulator offset indexed. More jargon. Zero offset indexed means that what you see is what you get. The value in the register is the address of the data. Constant offset indexed means that you're using a fixed constant, that is, a number other than zero, to add to the register's value in order to locate the data you need. Accumulator offset indexed means that you can use the A, B, or combined D accumulator to give you, in effect, a variable offset. Add that variable offset to the register's value and you locate the data in memory. Indexed addressing has other features. One of these is ostentatiously called the auto-increment-decrement indexed mode. It means that the register you're using to pinpoint a memory location may be incremented or decremented as the instruction is performed. As in the memory-to-screen message program you worked with earlier, this way of using indexed addressing makes transfer of information very quick and easy, requiring no additional steps to bump the register values along to the next byte in memory. Although that program was used to transfer information just one byte at a time, in another situation you might want to use two-byte values. Therefore, the auto-increment and decrement can be either by one byte, as you've done, or by two bytes, further increasing the programming flexibility. For example, if you had stored a table of 16-bit integers, you might want to step through the table two bytes at a time to access its information. The auto-increment-decrement-indexed mode has one quirk you should keep in mind. When your memory pointer register is to be automatically incremented, that incrementing is done after the rest of the instruction is finished. But when a pointer register is to be decremented, the decrementing is done before the instruction is performed. Say that the value of the A accumulator is to be stored at the memory location pointed to by Y. If an auto increment is requested, A is first stored at Y and then Y is incremented. However, if auto decrement is desired, Y is first decremented, then A is stored at Y. This is a little awkward at first, but you'll find the programming makes sense to do that way. More on that later. Now it's time to talk about mnemonics, which in this case will help make sense of indexed addressing. Please follow along with me in your documentation, and also have pages 16 and 17 of your MC6809E data booklet ready. You want to turn to pages 16 and 17 of the data booklet. The format of the operand for indexed addressing is consistent. The offset is identified, followed by a comma, and then the pointer register is named. I'm going to describe some variants on just one possibility, storing the A accumulator at memory indexed by X. Simply to store the A accumulator at memory indexed by X, use the zero offset indexed mode. It is written with a mnemonic STA, comma X. And that's read store A, zero offset to X. The process is in three steps. Step one, store A in memory location indexed by X. Step two, change the N and Z flags and reset the V flag. Remember, these are condition codes, and we'll get back to those. And step three, go on to the next instruction. To store A at memory indexed by X plus an offset of hex 10 bytes, use the constant offset indexed mode. It is written with a mnemonic STA, $10, comma X. And that's read, store A, constant offset hex 10 to X. The process is in four steps. First, calculate the register X plus hex 10. Second step, store A accumulator in memory location X plus hex 10. Step three is to change the N and Z flags and reset the V flag. And the final step is to go on to the next instruction. To store the A accumulator at memory indexed by X plus an offset of whatever value is in the B accumulator, use the accumulator offset indexed mode. It is written with a mnemonic STA B, X, and that's read store A accumulator B offset to X. The process is first to calculate X plus B, that is the X register plus the value in the B accumulator. The second step is to store the A accumulator in memory location X plus B. Third step, change N and Z flags and reset the V flag, and finally go on to the next instruction. To store the A accumulator at memory indexed by X, and then to automatically increment X by 1 byte, use the zero offset auto increment decrement indexed mode. It's written simply with a mnemonic STA, comma X plus. You read that, store A, zero offset to X, increment X by 1 byte. The process is in four steps. Store the A accumulator in memory location indexed by X. Make X equal to X plus 1, change the N and Z flags and reset the V flag, and go on to the next instruction. To store A at memory indexed by X, after automatically decrementing X by 1 byte, use the zero offset auto increment decrement indexed mode. It's also simpler to write than to describe. The mnemonic is STA, comma, minus X. And you read that, decrement X by 1 byte, store A, zero offset to X. The process is in four steps. Make the X register become X minus 1. Store the A accumulator in the memory location indexed by X. Change the N and Z flags and reset the V flag. And go on to the next instruction. To store the A accumulator at memory indexed by X, plus an offset of, say, 9 AB bytes, and following that to automatically increment X by 1 byte, use the constant offset auto increment decrement indexed mode. It's written with a mnemonic STA and your value, in this case $9AB, X plus. STA $9AB, X plus. You read that, store A, 9AB constant offset to X, increment X by 1 byte. The process is in 5 steps. The value is calculated X plus 9AB. The A accumulator is stored in memory location X plus 9AB. X is made x plus 1. The N and Z flags are changed, and the V flag is reset. And the next instruction is proceeded to. To store the A accumulator at memory indexed by x plus an offset of, let's use 9AB bytes again, after decrementing x by 1 byte, use the constant offset auto increment decrement index mode. It is written with a mnemonic STA $9AB, minus x. STA 9AB, minus x. And you read that, decrement x by 1 byte, store A, 9AB constant offset to x. The process is in 5 steps. Make x equal to x minus 1. Calculate x plus 9AB. Store the accumulator in memory location x plus 9AB. Change the N and Z flags and reset the V flag and go on to the next instruction. To store A at memory indexed by x plus an offset of whatever value is in the B accumulator and to automatically increment x by 2 bytes, use the accumulator offset auto increment decrement mode. Again, this is much simpler both to understand and to write than it is to say. The mnemonic is STA B, X plus plus. You read that, store A, accumulator B offset to X, increment X by 2 bytes. The process. First, calculate X plus B. Second, store A in memory location X plus B. Third step, make X equal to X plus 2. Four, change the N and Z flag. Reset the V flag, and 5, go on to the next instruction. To store A at memory indexed by x plus an offset of whatever value is in the B accumulator after having automatically decremented x by 2 bytes, use the accumulator offset auto increment decrement mode. It looks like this, mnemonic, STA B, minus minus x. And you read that, decrement x by 2 bytes, store A, accumulator B offset to x. The process, again, 5 steps. Make x equal to x minus 2. Calculate x plus offset b. Store a in memory location x plus b. Change the N and Z flags, reset the V flag, and go on to the next instruction. As you can see, even storing the accumulator to memory indexed by x can be done a number of ways. A complete list would include 6 more variants I haven't described. You'll have a chance to try these in your workbook. This is a good time to try the workbook if you'd like, or just take a break and review. If you've been reviewing this lesson, you probably have an idea that indexed addressing is very, very flexible and not nearly so difficult as the jargon itself suggests. And if you've had a glance at your MC6809E data booklet, then you know there's quite a bit more to the subtlety of indexed addressing. Even so, I would like to leave that topic for now and turn to relative addressing. Relative addressing is a good term, one of the best pieces of jargon you'll encounter. When relative addressing is employed, the data needed to complete an instruction is found at a location in memory relative to the present position of the program counter. Specifically, relative addressing is used to identify places in memory to which the program itself will branch. To use relative addressing, though, you have to know about signs. I've not mentioned negative numbers in conjunction with binary or hexadecimal notation, and that's because the representation used is different from that in decimal system. In the decimal system, of course, a negative 10 is simply written with a minus sign, minus 10. Computer binary numbers are called signed numbers because the sign for positive or negative aspect is in fact a part of the number itself. That's simpler than it sounds. Where the sign of a number is unimportant, all the binary digits have the same meaning, as you've experienced so far. However, certain programming conditions, relative addressing is just one of them, need to know not only the length of a branch, but also which direction the branch goes. That is, how far will the program counter move? Will it move forward or backward relative to the current position in the program? To sign a number in binary, to give it a positive or negative characteristic, a unique procedure is used. If the most significant bit, that is, the leftmost bit, of the number in question is 0, then the number is defined as positive. If the most significant bit is 1, then the number is considered negative. This is arbitrary. And remember, the sign bit is ignored except when it is needed. If the most significant bit is 0, the number is positive. If the most significant bit is 1, the number is negative. You actually have used a signed number in the programming you've done so far. In fact, it was a negative signed number, but you probably haven't noticed. Think back to the program which moved information from memory to the screen. There was an instruction that read branch if not equal to a part of the program labeled loop. At that time, I hustled you past that point, explaining only about the condition code register, how that branch would take place if the zero flag was not set, and that this was sort of like a basic go-to. I carefully didn't mention anything about the operand of that branch instruction. Turn to your documentation. That program is printed with this text. This time, though, the hex code appears with it. It should look familiar. Incidentally, the load immediate instructions in lines 110 and 120 and the zero offset auto increment decrement indexed instructions in lines 130 and 140 should be particularly understandable this time round. But my interest is in line 160. There's that branch if not equal to loop. Hex 26 is the opcode for branch if not equal. F7 is the operand. How does F7 describe a program branch? The answer is to write it in binary. F7 translates into 1111 0111. The most significant bit, bit 7, is a 1, meaning for relative addressing purposes, this is a negative number. This is a backwards branch. Translated into a decimal number, this is -9. Now, if you don't have a decimal hex programmer's calculator, you can refer to the chart at the end of the documentation, or you can just count backwards. 00 is 0. FF is -1. FE is -2. FD is -3. FC is -4. FB is -5. FA is -6. F9 is -7. F8 is -8. F7 is -9. There it is, -9. The backwards branch is made from the program counter's present position. Recall that several lessons ago, I said that the program counter points to the next instruction to be executed. Look at the listing again. The next instruction is in line 170, return from subroutine. The program counter is pointing to RTS when the branch on not equal instruction is in progress. This is the starting point of the counting, then, relative position 00. You'll be counting backwards through the second and third columns containing the hexadecimal opcodes and operands. Count backwards in the hex data with your finger. 00 points to return from subroutine, hex code 39. Now start counting. FF, FE, that's the beginning of the branch on not equal instruction. FD, FC, FB, that puts you at the beginning of the compare X opcode. FA, F9, there's the store A command. F8, F7, and there it is, the beginning of the load A instruction right on the line with the label loop. Try it again just to be certain. Start with the instruction return from subroutine as relative position 00 and count backwards through the bytes of data. FF, FE, FD, FC, FB, FA, F9, F8, F7. The relative branch brings you back to the label loop. There's another way to do this, actually the way the 6809 itself does it. The 6809 adds the relative branch operand to the address pointed to by the program counter. If the relative branch is positive, bit 7 is 0, then the result becomes the address of the next instruction the processor will execute. However, if the relative branch value is negative, the 6809 decrements the most significant byte of the address and uses that as the address of the next instruction. In this case, the program counter reads 4010, and the relative branch is F7. Now, 4010 plus F7 is 4107. But F7 is negative, so the most significant byte of the address, 41, is decremented to 40. The result is 4007. Glance at the listing. 4007 confirms the address where you will find the label loop. The 6809 has two kinds of relative addressing, long and short. So far, I've been describing short addressing. In short addressing, one byte is used to carry the program 127 addresses forward or 128 addresses backward. Long relative addressing uses two bytes, but the principle is the same. If the most significant bit is 0, the long branch is positive. If the most significant bit is 1, the long branch is negative. There are two major differences between the long and short branch. In the 1-byte short branch, bit 7 is the most significant bit. In the 2-byte long branch, bit 15 is the most significant bit. Also, the short branch can only move 127 addresses forward or 128 addresses backward. The long branch can move 32,767 addresses forward or 32,768 addresses backward in memory. That is, through the entire memory map of the computer. Long branches offer what's called position-independent programming. Remember the term position-independent. I'll be talking quite a bit about that later. Relative addressing, then, is unique in that the operand does not provide either an immediate value or a specific address to the processor. Rather, it provides a value which can be used to calculate a specific address in relationship to the present position in the program. Relative addressing. It provides a value which can be used to calculate a specific address in relationship to the present position in the program. Time to summarize. There are 7 major ways your program can obtain the information it needs. These are called the addressing modes. 1. The information can be implied by the instruction itself. This is inherent addressing. Clear A, Clear A accumulator, is an example of inherent addressing. Number 2. The information can deal with internal 6809 registers. This is register addressing. TFR X, Y, transfer X register to Y register, is an example of register addressing. The third way. The information can be present immediately following the instruction itself. This is immediate addressing. LDA number sign, dollar sign, 80, load A accumulator with a value hex 80, is an example of immediate addressing. The fourth mode. The information can take the form of a memory address where the data can be found. This is extended addressing. LDX 1234, load X register with the information at address 1234, is an example of extended addressing. The fifth mode, the information can take the form of the least significant half of a memory address. This can be combined with the value of the direct page register already inside the processor to locate the information in memory. This is direct addressing. If the direct page register is 50, then LDY less than dollar sign $CC, load Y with the information at address 50CC and 50CD is an example of direct addressing. The sixth mode, new to this lesson, the information can take the form of a register value, which, together with an optional offset, identifies a memory address where data can be found. This is indexed addressing. LDX D, Y, load X with the information at address Y plus offset D is an example of indexed addressing. And finally, number 7, the information can take the form of a value to add to the program counter to determine a new position for the program counter. This is relative addressing. BRA, dollar sign 40, branch always to program counter plus hex 40, is an example of relative addressing. Each of these modes is unique, and each contributes to the speed and economy of the 6809 processor. Please review this lesson and read pages 15 through 17 of your MC6809E data booklet. I haven't yet discussed what are called indirect addressing modes. If, when you read the data booklet, the indirect modes make sense, then you're doing well indeed. If they're not clear to you, don't worry. That's for later. Actually, quite a bit later. After lesson 13, we'll be talking about indirect addressing modes. Once again, please review all the addressing modes in this lesson and the previous lesson before moving on.